My life provides the world an opportunity to see the future in real time, to view the confidence of a winner in a beautiful package. My smile emulates the sun in ways that makes those around me feel the warmth of my love. Joy creates the type of breeze that brings new direction to those that doubt spring is coming. The cooling blue skies that exist in my world are truly infectious. I hate the thought of slumber because it denies me too many moments when I'm not impacting the world. The passion I have for life cannot be contained by the dark clouds of my personal doubts. I have mastered my own negativity in a way that reduces any reduction in my productivity. Now every day is the net profit of my existence. My ball of life bounces off the foundation of obstacles, which were overcome with a smile. I now see the roadblocks as the items that give my reason for living value. My self-worth is discovered in the way that I enjoy bringing happiness to others. This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you 7 days a week. 6 p.m. Sunday through Friday, East Coast time. 3 p.m. West Coast time. Saturday at 8 p.m. East Coast time and 5 p.m. West Coast time. This is a platform for your voice to be heard loud and clear. It is important that we participate in our world in a way that brings greatness to our existence. It is now time that we make sure that we no longer exist on the sideline, but are fully involved in the game that is going to determine our fate. I look forward to you calling in my show, 657-383-0309, so that your voice is heard without a filter.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip-hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1. And it's 24-7, the world's best radio station.
With that message, never better get checked. It ain't no different second when the king goes sick. Put it down and a check, fuck around and get wet.
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. As always, you know I'm so pleased and happy to be here and be given the opportunity to chat with all of you that call in and those of you who will listen when you download the podcast. It is up to us to make sure that our voices are heard loud and clear and people fully understand the position that we have. Dee, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing good, James. I'm about to park this truck, but you know I can't miss a show, so I'm at the terminal, but I got you on the air, my buddy.
All right, all right. Well, Dee, you know what I thought I would do to give the ladies an opportunity to catch up, you know, because they're a little behind. You know, after nobody was on the show but you and I still want to rub it in a little bit. I thought we would talk about a subject that has been further on the air that you and I discussed alone and give them an opportunity to chime in. You know that recently a child was found who was 18 years old. Her mother is now in jail and is being taken back to Miami, Florida, where she had taken the baby after I think the baby was only days old when she originally stole the baby from Miami. And now this young lady is 18 years old. And the young lady is having a very difficult time
with transitioning from knowing the only mother she's ever known to now realizing that her mother is in jail and may spend a large percentage of her life in jail after raising her. Now, her mother is now 51 years of age, so if they give her any extensive time, she may not survive the length of the sentence. So we want to just discuss with all the ladies what their feeling was in regard to this. The father never knew that the child was stolen. He has been open on television and talked about the fact that he was unaware that the child was stolen, and now she's 18 and how much he loves her and how his love will not change. But I just want to start off, everybody seems to be here, but we'll start off with you, Audrey. Have you heard about this story?
I have heard briefly about it, and this is a tragedy on many levels because you're talking about so many lives impacted. I do feel that the young lady will need to receive professional assistance in dealing with this because you stated that she grew up with a mother that she thought was her mother, and to find out 18 years later that her mom is not her mom. And then to adjust to her biological parent, I don't understand, or I don't have enough information to understand how it occurred. Was the lady expecting her child, and she didn't have her child died or something, and she just stole the baby, or is it that she just stole the baby because she wanted a child, and how could the father not know? Has she not been expecting? And then kudos to the parents the biological parents who continue to never give up. Through it all, the child will be blessed in the long run of knowing that she have really two sets of parents, which is a unique situation. But a lot of mental emotions, a lot of just concerns of really how to trust, what to trust, what to believe, that would be a real roller coaster. So I pray for all that's involved, and I don't have, again...
Well, let me give you a little further information. She behaved as, you know, this was done prior to babies now having these bands on and not being able to be taken too far from the mother or from the nursery before the bands would go off or lock doors. This was during a time which the female who stole the baby was behaving as though she was a friend of the family. Then at some point, she switched roles and started acting like she was a nurse. And so at the point that she obtained the baby, she just literally walked out of the hospital. And again, this was when before they had the type of security that they have now. The father was told afterwards that this was his child, and he continued to take care of the child, thinking that his girlfriend had gotten pregnant, and she told him that she had this baby. So he was unaware of the theft. That's the reason why he will not be prosecuted. And so now you have this woman at 51 years of age who has raised this child from nearly birth, who is now going to go to court and receive justice. Now, way it was explained today that the child's feelings may come into play only as a result as it is based on mitigating circumstances and possibly sentencing. So that now the only concern, because the child is 18, so she can't be forced to go anywhere, but she now can get a proper driver's license and Social Security number, because the only Social Security number she has gotten was a fake one of someone who had already died. So, Joyce, you know, what is your thought? Had you heard about this story?
Yes, I did, but I spent most of the day today at the dentist. So if it's okay with everybody, I just would like to just listen in today.
Okay. All right. No problem, Joyce. Okay, Kathy, what are your thoughts about it?
I think it's a blessing and a curse on all corners. To have two people to raise her, it seems as though nothing never happened to her in the time that they had her and was raising her, so she is okay. So that's a blessing. And then the curse part is that she has to reprogram her mind that these are not her parents, and how did this happen, and why did it happen, and, you know, who's at fault, and what did she miss out on? So that's the curse part. But it's going to be very interesting to see this play out. Like the other caller said, I'm going to be praying for her, because even in your own family, sometimes you think, is this the family I'm supposed to be in when things start happening? So to actually find out that that's not her family, that's something to just sit back and ponder on. And just, I mean, I'm as you guys are talking, I'm thinking, wow, all these years being around all these people, they were not her family, you know. And then her other family looking for, I don't know, you didn't say why, I mean, how it came about that they found her, but I'm just glad to know.
I think what one of the things that happened when she turned 18, as they discussed it on TV, was that someone called in a tip. And so someone, she started to have reservations about whether or not this was truly her mother, and she shared it with a friend. And so she didn't seek to turn her mother in, but she did share it with a friend. And I think her mother also shared it with someone in confidence. But someone, after it had been shared, called into the National Register of Children or something of that nature. And that's when the police got involved. And so once they came to check, of course, they did the DNA test. And that's when her mother was arrested. And they found out that the child actually was stolen from Miami. And as a result, now you have a child who is over the age of 18 or at 18. And her parents, her real biological parents, never gave up on her. They never, they always wanted her to return. They never stopped believing that their daughter was out there. And now, though, how do they mesh the fact that they've been out of this girl's life for 18 years, and how do they get returned back to her life and become a positive force in her life?
Oh, you know what? There was a movie exactly like that, but it wasn't a husband and wife. It was just the mother and her other daughter, and they raised the young lady all the way up until the 18 years old, and some kind of way it got out that they were not her biological parents. And then she began to search, and she did find them, and they had been looking for her as well. So it all worked out, but the young lady was very angry. I'm assuming that the person who took her had been feeling guilty and couldn't sleep at night, you know, having dreams and everything else because of what she had did, you know, all these years. So, you know, maybe that's why she confided in somebody and told somebody. She had to relieve herself of holding on to that for so long, possibly. I'm not sure.
And that may have been it, but you know, things that you do in the dark will soon come to light. But let me ask you, Andre, what kind of, you know, on the TV today on Good Morning America, they said that this was one of the worst crimes a person could commit, is taking someone else's child. And this woman now is 51 years of age. what kind of sentence do you think she should get? And how should a judge feel about the fact that her daughter, not her biological mother is in jail, but the only mother this child has known is still in love with this woman?
Yeah. I don't know what the crime would be, but I do know that it's not going to benefit anyone for her to be incarcerated for an extended period of time. I would like to see the young lady again have access to both sets of parents. And, you know, she'll have to build the relationships with her biological one. But you have to imagine if she was raised 18 years, I mean, what good is it going to do by putting the person in jail? She committed a crime, and, yes, something should be associated with it. But at the age of 51, I would definitely not stay for an extended period of time such that the families can feel that. I mean the biological family would have to be in a position to forgive and want to continue to have the lady have, you know, contact with the young lady. But it's a large dynamics all the way around. So I'm not sure exactly what the sentence should be.
Well, those on Good Morning America had suggested that kidnapping is a part of the offense. And also just the fact that you denied this woman her baby, I mean, just it's a horrific situation. Regina, had you been following the story as it been about this 18-year-old black female who had just been found as of last week and her 51-year-old mother? Actually, she was found in South Carolina. Regina, do you have any additional information about the story? Are you with us, Regina?
Yes. I know that
she was actually found in South Carolina, right?
Right, Walterboro, South Carolina. And I don't have any additional information. I just know that and you may have already said this, that the lady who abducted her had just lost her baby, so she was probably going through postpartum, and that the young lady, 18-year-old, is very well kept, very articulate, and she actually loves this only mother that she has known. So as you said, it makes for a very difficult situation to get the police involved with it. I see both sides of it. I'm going to follow it to see how it plays out. And I think they've already taken her back to Jacksonville.
No, Miami. That's where,
Miami. That's where she
right.
abducted the lady from.
And now you know that Audre has suggested that there should be some leniency. Well, what is your feeling about what type of punishment this woman should be given as a result of her crime?
I, too, feel that there should be some leniency. Child is well raised. But there has to be punishment for that crime. So I would not want to be in anybody's shoes, but I tell you what, as they say, this little 18-year-old is lawyered up because she's now 18. So she's legal. And she has Attorney Bamberg. He's one of our state senators, but he's also well known for defending the families of some of these people who've gotten shot, who've gotten killed by police officers. So he's a very well known attorney
But part of the problem is this young lady is not obligated to return to her biological parents because she is 18. She very well could choose to move in and stay with her father, not her biological father, but the only father she has known, because he has not been found guilty of anything, or have not been found to be involved at all. So she could very well choose to move in with him. But what role should her real parents play in her life at this point, Kathy? Try to play.
Well, first they have to get to know her, you know, because it has been 18 years. But they have to allow her to lead. I mean, they can't push themselves on her because she's confused. She has two sets of parents, and we don't know how she was raised or, you know, what happened during the time that she was with the other lady or, you know, so we don't know any of that right now. So they have to just be there, be supportive, and reach out when she comes, love on her, and when she draws back, still love on her, but from a distance. So this is going to be a testimony of love and forgiveness. That's what this is going to be. And, yes, the lady is going to have to face some sort of time. Who knows what that's going to be because of the crime she committed. But it's going to be a testimony of love and forgiveness.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it tugs at your heartstrings because the lady has taken such care of this child, but to deny a mother of her child, to snatch a child away from a mother when a mother knew her only a few days, how heart-wrenching, and immeasurable the torment that this mother went through for the first 3 or 4 years, if not the entire 18 years. Audrey, what kind of sympathy should we have or compassion for this mother whose baby was stolen?
We would have compassion for both and all. And again, we all make bad choices sometimes. And her intention was to care for the child, and it was wrong. But, you know, this is a story that's really occurring often. I mean, people don't realize children are being stolen, babies are being stolen all the time. I know coming up, it was very important for us to make sure that you keep your eyes on children. And here now, I see a lot of times people, when I'm out shopping or whatever and stuff, they do not keep close rein enough on their children. But, you know, a lot of people are out there and they will snatch up children, but it's a reason, it's something that's going on in that person's mind. And I can only imagine if someone was to come to me and say, you know, well, hey, after researching everything, your son is really not your son. I just can't even imagine that. So it will take prayer.
And it's, you know, the fact is that if you mistakenly give this lady leniency, will that also serve to encourage other people that this might be something they could do and not risk a long-term jail sentence? Would that encourage mm-hmm. others, Regina, to take that to do that?
I think it would. I think if they feel, if this woman gets away with it, then others will be more inclined to not feel that they're taking a big risk. And they'll do it feeling that the person could actually, you know, they can get away with it. And, you know, actually the young lady is the one who discovered this huge secret. I think she went to get a apply for a job or something, and her credentials were not legitimate. What I can't understand, and maybe somebody else knows, how did she go through school without having a legitimate birth certificate? And those
actually, they said on Good Morning America that the documents that she had used throughout her school were fraudulent, and that the person whose name, I mean, her birth Social Security number she was using and birth date that she was using, the man was deceased. So they are saying that many of the organizations that use her birth certificate and Social Security number did not do a good job.
Wow.
So I'm not sure who the mother went to, or did she create the fake documents on her own, but they have determined that the documents were related to a man who was already deceased.
I'm just really speechless. I'm just at a loss for words, on this. Young children. It just causes me to take a second and a third and a fourth and a fifth look at children now, and at especially the ones who come and then they leave so quickly, and you wonder, you know, why so quickly? You know, what's really going on?
Well, you know, just like Audrey has stated, many, many children are snatched on a regular basis, and a lot of these children are found most of the time. And, you know, recently you had the incident where the man had snatched the three Hispanic girls and who was keeping them in his house, locked up and chained up. And you know how horrific that was, and he actually had fathered children from him. So in this case, this girl was loved and cared for, and that's part of the reason why there's such difficulty with her breaking away from her mother, because she grew up, this was the only mother she knew.
And she won't break away
from
her.
Right, she's already stated that there's no way she can stop loving her mother.
Irregardless
of who she belongs to, she's committed to this woman. Because of this woman has been there for everything she's ever done.
You know, a possible solution, and I'm sure someone's going to offer it, is that, you know, they offer leniency of some sort, but both child, and she's still a child, she's 18, but show her that they're going to work together. The mother's going to have to admit that she was wrong. And she is going to have to be the one to push the child toward, you know, forming a relationship with her biological parent. She's really going to have to push that.
Yeah, they have not stated. The biological parents have met her, but they have not stated what the future plans are in regards to that. And just understand that this woman raised this child in South Carolina, and now you're asking me to go to Miami. What a great difference that is in terms of lifestyle and living arrangements. And, you know, we don't know what type of difference there is financially. We don't know what difference there is educationally. Both these are two different African-American families being raised in two majorly different regions of the world, regions of our country. There's no way these two places can be compared. Cassie, what are your thoughts about that? I mean, you know, this woman, this child being uprooted and sent to a major city like Miami, you know, that would be, I mean, I couldn't think of a greater difference in terms of rural and urban and rural existence.
Because Walterboro is definitely rural.
Again, this is going to be a death.
I can tell you this. I've been to Union, South Carolina, and that's where my family's from. And you have not been to a place. I don't know about you, Kathy. I know there are a lot of different areas of the country in California, and you can go out to the country area, but you ain't seen darkness till you see darkness in South Carolina.
You would be right.
I'm telling you now. Now, Audrey is from Mississippi, and I don't know much about Mississippi, but I can tell you, when I go to South Carolina, nobody comes off the porch after dark in South Carolina. You do not walk down the country roads in the dark in South Carolina.
Wow. Oh, goodness.
You're going in on it tonight now. Regina, you know this. I'm 56 years old, and I've been to South Carolina 100,000 times, and I would never walk to my uncle's house in the dark. He lives less than a mile away from the main house, and I have never thought about walking to his house after dark. I mean, deers, rodents. You can't imagine what might be coming on them country streets. You know that, Regina. You know that how dark it is. Only thing you can see is fireflies.
And you're supposed to catch them in a mason jar and use them to light your way.
Audrey, is it that dark in Mississippi?
Yes, we'll be right there with South Carolina, if not dark. You're right. When you have no lights out, you can't even see in front of you. You really can't. Even if you put your hand in front of you, you can't see. It's dark. So yeah, you're talking about two completely different cultures there.
Yeah. So I could not even imagine this girl. You have to think about it. People from South Carolina, for them to move to major cities is a major decision in their lives. So this girl, very well, if she had been left alone, she might have not moved 10 miles from where she lives. I know I have cousins who still live on their parents' property. Their parents just give them a piece of property, they build a house, and they don't live 25 yards from their parents. So it's just a different existence that people live in South Carolina than they would live in Miami, Florida. And mind you, I got my degree from South Carolina State, so it is not, and I appreciate every day the education that South Carolina gave me, but it is just, it's just the truth related to the difference. So it is unthinkable that this child is going to have to make that choice, and I would not be surprised if she chose to stay in South Carolina.
James, I don't know. What I believe is that she will choose Miami because her mother, quote unquote mother, will be there. Because that's where the crime occurred.
Well, that is something to think about. I mean, but in the state of Florida, you could be put anywhere. You're not necessarily going to be in Miami. If she gets convicted in Miami, she may be sent to any prison anywhere in Florida. It's not necessary she'll be sent to the prison that is closest to Miami.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Well,
because in the state of Florida, you get sent to the county jail for anything less than a year, and then anything over a year, you get sent to the prison system, and their jails. You get sent to the jail that most meets your needs, depending on the crime that you commit.
Mhm. Well, this is a horrible situation. It's absolutely horrible, and I'm just really speechless. Just totally speechless. If you can believe that.
Cassie, if you were to give amount of time, what kind of time do you believe that this mother should receive?
Well, I just looked it up, and it says between 1 and 20 years for kidnapping. So I would ask that she would do some kind of counseling, because there has to be something actually wrong with her. And then I would have her to go and speak to people about what has actually happened, why she did what she did, and probably give her about 5 years.
Welcome, Audrey, to the show. We're talking about a mother, an African-American mother who was child was found after 18 years, and she has now been sent back to Miami to face the charges. She stole this child when the child was only days old, and now she is going to have to face judgment. And we were just asking, what kind of judgment did you all feel that this woman should face? She raised the child in a good environment. She took very good care of the child, but she still kidnapped this child from birth. What are your thoughts about that? Have you heard about the case?
I vaguely heard a little bit about it. I'm not going to have much to contribute, you know, to this. I'm just now coming in. But I would have to think that there's something wrong with that young lady. You know, I would have to think that she's mentally disturbed. I mean, why does she do that? Can she have kids of her own? You know? So, you know,
Regina suggested that she lost her child, and she stole the child after a few days old, and she went and told her boyfriend that it was his baby, and he has been the only father the child has known for the 18-year period. Now, he is not being charged because he was not a part of the original crime that took place of kidnapping, so he wasn't involved at all.
Right.
But now this child is 18 years of age, and her biological parents are hoping and wishing that they can play a part in her life. But at this point, the child has to make a decision, and she's not obligated to return to our biological parents.
Right. Well, she's grown. She's been raised by someone that's not her parent. Because you've got the people that stole her, you got her, and then you got a biological parents. It's kind of like, how do you put that puzzle together? Or how do you blend this family, or do you want to blend this family?
Yeah, it makes it even worse. And I don't know if it's worse or better. Let me pose the question to all of you. Regina, would you have wanted this girl to be in a position if she was younger than 18, if she was a few years younger than 18, she would be forced to be returned to her parents. But now because she's 18, she has options. So is it better that she's 18, or would it be better if she was younger and she not have a choice?
Well, I think that if they, at the age of like somewhere between 12 and 14, they the judge takes into account the adolescent, what you know, what they want, their feelings.
Oh, he wants that in the book.
So,
where is it at?
I think that it would be better if, I think now is a good time, because if she were younger, she'd be really conflicted. Really. And then you would have the people pulling and tugging at her, and it would just be a mess. Now, the bottom line is the decision is hers.
Andre, your thoughts, do you think this is best that she's 18? Would it have been better had she been found a few years earlier?
I think for her, it's probably better that she's 18. But, you know, I am very mindful just because a person's age is 18, it doesn't, to me, still qualify them to be an adult. There's so many things they still don't know. But because of the fact that she's in the driver's seat, I think that for this immediate response, it's just like anything that's sprung on us, our first reactions are not necessarily the same after we've had a few years. So by her being an adult, you know, she'll make the decision one way or the other, and as she continues to mature, I think she'll still have an opportunity to even change and expand on that decision, so that I hope that she'll continue to be involved with both sets of parents. It's complicated. It's complicated. That's about prayer would straighten it out.
Let me
ask you all this
because – go ahead.
I really think that eventually her curiosity is going to get the best of her, and I think she's going to want to know where she gets her features from, where she gets her stature from. She's going to really want to know, you know, where she gets her temperament from, how much of those folks is she really like. And that way, that may create a bond there, just the mere curiosity that's in her, her natural curiosity.
Well, let me ask you all this, and this is going to take us off the mark a little bit. You all seem to have a lot of sympathy for this 51-year-old woman, and of course she didn't, the only criminal thing she really did was take this child from her mother, so the kidnapping and whatever other charges that they bring when she originally took the child. And the child says she's been raised very well, but what, you know, because of the length of time that it's been, I think creates some of that sympathy. But why isn't there any sympathy for Bill Cosby and the crime he committed? Here this man is 80-some years old, 1 foot in the grave, and people want him to go to jail. Where's the sympathy for him, Andre?
I think it's two different situations. Both are criminal crimes, yes, but I think it's two different situations.
So the statute of limitations was almost gone.
Two different crimes.
And so the fact that he's 80 plus years old with 1 foot in the grave doesn't make a difference.
Two different crimes.
Is that your thought also, Audrey? Orange County? Well, I just want to tell you, and I know you all say it's two different crimes, but I just believe that I think I have a little more sympathy for Bill Cosby and the fact that his this crime was beyond the statute of limitations, and that he's being railroaded all these years after these crimes committed, and these people suggesting that what he had done was so horrific, but they never went to the police at the time. I just find it odd that this man was nearly blind and mentally incapable of handling this court procedure. He may die as a result of this. And I can't get any sympathy whatsoever for this man, but y'all ready to let this lady get a parole from a kidnapping that she did 18 years ago?
I'm not ready. I didn't say she needed parole.
Well, what type of sentence do you think she should get?
You know, I think she may need to, you know what? Yes, she needs to be committed to a psychiatric institution because all of this time she has been living a lie, and she has really put her mind to the fact that she is living a lie. I mean, it's so into her now that it's ingrained in her that this is her child.
Are you right? I believe she had to know that every day. For 18 years, every day she knew she stole that child. And no matter how much love she had for that child, every day she woke up knowing that child was not hers.
Every day. She actually, in my opinion, and I'm not a psychiatrist, but it seems as though she was psychotic. She actually was living in a fantasy world. Yeah, she needs to be committed to a mental facility because she has some deep issues at this point. They're going to need to, I mean, no, she's mentally ill.
Well, that's what Audrey was thinking. I think Audrey was saying the same thing, that she needs some type of evaluation to determine where her head at and how she could have come to the point to do what she did.
Well, my point is, how did she not? Well, I know how she came to the point of what she initially did, but how did she actually live with it for 18 years, mentally incapacitated?
You know, you're saying for 18 years that lady woke up every day knowing that she had committed a crime. I kind of beg to differ with you on that. I would think at some point along the continuum, before the 18 years, she actually believed the lie, and that lie became truth to her.
Right. I see what you're saying. Lie became truth.
And so maybe when that kid was 5 years old, she just had it in her mind, this is my child. She forgot about that lie, and that became her truth.
Right.
And James,
she also committed, she also told another friend about the lie after 18 years. So she actually confessed to a friend that got her in trouble. Was the fact that she confessed it to another friend after this child turned 18.
But, okay, look at it this way. This child's 18 years old. She's through parenting. The child's gone off the nest. And now maybe reality is finally setting in. What did I do?
You may be right. Well, let's take a break,
yep,
and we'll come back and have our final words for today.
touch of your hand makes my pulse react. That it's only the thrill of boy meeting girl while possess a track. It's physical. Must try to ignore that it means more than that. Oh, what's love got to do? Got to do with it? What's love but a second-hand emotion? What's love got to do? Got to do with it? Who needs a heart when a heart can be broken? It may seem to you that I'm acting confused. To me, if I tend to look dazed, I read it someplace. I've got cause to be. There's a name for it. There's a phrase that fits. But whatever the reason, you do it for me.
Cosby, Sophie, you didn't even ask me, but I do support him. I stand behind him, and I'm still praying for him. I hope everything works out for the man. And there's a bond between a mother and a child, so that's probably why we have a little bit more sympathy for this particular lady. Not saying that we don't want her to be prosecuted for the crime that she did, but it's going to be a little bit more lenient because the girl is fine. She's okay, but she still deserves her due charges for the crime that she did commit.
All right. Regina, your final word for today?
I'm still speechless, but I do want to tell Kathy to tell her husband happy birthday.
How do you know about Kathy's husband's birthday?
Thank
I'm
you,
to do some
Gina.
Research.
Those are my
Thank
final
you.
Words.
I'm going to have to do some research on that. RJ, what is your final word for today?
You said Audrey or Audrey?
Audrey.
Okay. I'm Audrey. Regarding the Bill Cosby situation, you know, as the thing went on, I became very angry because I personally believe 90 plus percent of those women that he's accused of, they had something to gain from it. Now that their beauty is gone, they're old women. I don't understand why they want to do this to him. I'm sure they got something out of the deal. So let it be. Now, regarding this lady that stole this child, you know, God bless her. You know, because, you know, I was in a position where I had a miscarriage and I went into a deep depression for about 3 years, you know, because I had lost my baby. And this lady, in her head, found the baby and made herself believe that that was her baby. And sometimes these things get so deep when stuff like this happens, people even just go through the process in their mental head that I had this baby and this is my baby. Those people need help. I ended up having to get help because it's a bitter pill to swallow. And those are my final words.
Okay, and you know, we got a little bit of time left. And I'm going to pose another question to you guys because I really want to know. Kathy, are you celebrating tomorrow? You know what tomorrow is, right?
Yes, I am celebrating. It will be 11
okay.
years. It will be 11 years that I have been married to my wonderful husband, January 20th, 2007. We will celebrate from the beginning to the end.
Praise the Lord.
Well, I appreciate the fact that that's what you're celebrating, and I'm happy for you, but I was talking about your new president.
I know what you were talking about, but I just had to give you that.
Okay. Regina, will you be popping a cork on some champagne for your new president?
I will be popping the cork because my president, as of tonight, my president will have some freedom and some relief, and he can breathe. And I'm so happy for him. I'm also happy that I lived to help elect a president, and I lived to see him have a successful time in office. That is what I'm celebrating. I am so happy for that.
Okay. Andrea, will you be celebrating, or what will you be your thoughts on tomorrow? Audrey in Orange County?
Oh, I thought you meant Audrey. Okay, well, I'm going to be doing just what the young lady said before me. Now, I don't know how true this is, but someone told me on tomorrow, turn your TV on, all your TVs, on any channel that Trump's not on, and that way he won't get any ratings. Now, you guys
that
can maybe help me out. I'm sorry?
That is true.
Yeah, that's what I was told. Well, how is he going to get a rating if I don't have my TV on? How does that work?
That is true.
Well, I can guarantee you, I don't know what's true or not. But I definitely will not be looking at anything that has to do with his inauguration. So, you know, I don't know if that's going to reduce me to be looking at cartoons or what. I know I won't be watching any news. And I'm not sure what we'll be discussing tomorrow. But I won't be watching any inauguration tomorrow for sure.
Do you have your bottle of wine or champagne, Jane?
No, I'm gonna have to. My spirit is gonna have to be a little stronger than that for me to get over my misery. And I'm going. I appreciate the fact. I appreciate the fact that Barack Obama and Michelle can go and relax and enjoy the rest of their life. But I just think they're wrong for leaving us. They ain't have to leave us like this.
Yeah, you know what? I'd like to say something a little bit differently. Now, I was looking at TV today, and Melania's going to be the first lady. All of a sudden, people on the TV are saying, well, there's no rule book to becoming the first lady. You know, you write your own rules. How does that come about?
Michelle couldn't write her
own
rules.
Oh, yeah. There was some major rules for Michelle in terms of the way they carried on about every little thing she did. They wanted to suggest that it was nearly criminal.
But all of a sudden, the rule book's thrown out the window.
That's right. It's thrown out the window.
Well, they're suggesting that she's not going to even move to the White House, that she's going to raise her son in New York.
Well, she's supposed to come there after this school session is over. But we'll see.
I also heard that they asked Trump's daughter, Bianca, if she was going to be the first lady.
Wow. I wouldn't put it past them. Remember, this is a different election.
Well, she said no, she was not going to take, what's her name, Bianca. She was not going to take her place.
Oh,
yeah,
oh,
that's her room. Yeah.
Well,
but I wanted to say to everyone on here that as a woman of God and men and women of God, we have to look at the big picture. And even though we are not happy with the results, we have to be in prayer and we have to be examples to the world, because we cannot act the way the world is acting. We're supposed to be different. So just, what do they say, something for thought?
Food for thought.
Food for thought.
Well, let me just tell you, I feel like an abandoned child, and I just feel like Michelle and Barack don't abandon me and left me in the hands of this crazy man. And I know what you're saying, Cassie. I just am not there yet. But hopefully with time I'll get there.
Well, do you guys know that he did do one last bombing before he left?
No, repeat
that Barack did one last what?
There was one last bombing. There, an ISIS camp was bombed today.
Oh, really?
Oh, really? I hadn't heard that.
Yes.
Where?
Overseas. I think 80 people
were killed. Syria.
80 were killed. None were, no children or women. But it was an ISIS camp.
It must be
camp.
Syria. Okay. Well, hey, that's the way to go out, you know.
He went out with a bang.
Wow.
Well, all right, everybody. We're going to call it a day. We'll see you guys tomorrow at 6 p.m., 3 o'clock West Coast time on Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network, the place where your voice can be heard loud and clear and unfiltered.
Check on James tomorrow.
All right. All right. Check on James.
Turn off the light. Light a candle. Tonight I'm in a romantic mood, yeah. Let's take a shower, shower together. I'll wash your body, you wash mine, yeah. Girl. treat. You're so sweet. Turn off the light and let's get cozy. See, you're the only one in the world that I need. I wanna love you, love you all over. Tonight I'm in a sexy mood. Ooh, baby.
Light a candle.
Girl, there's something that I want to do to you.